Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
All right, y'all. Well, good to see so many new faces here. I've been coming here for a little while. My name is Seth Stavala. I grew up in the church. My father was a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. And talking about baptism Sunday, so my first baptism, I'm going to be straight with y'all, I don't remember. But I will tell you about the most important thing about baptism is you're dead to sin and alive with Christ. And if you feel like you need to get baptized again, do it. It is a renewal. It is recognizing that he is always with you. He loves you. He loves you. He would die even if it was just you. I needed a reminder of that. I've been going through some stuff. Some of you know my story. Some of you don't. Before I touch on that, I want to talk about the most distinctive baptism that I was privileged and blessed enough to take part in. Again, my father is a pastor, and we actually got to go to Israel, and he baptized me in the Jordan River. Woo! That is a memory that I will always cherish with my father and my father. Good. Now, just because you are baptized does not mean there won't be opposition. Just because you are a Christian, that does not mean there is not going to be opposition. We are living in a fallen world. But what does Jesus say? Take heart, for I have overcome the world. I'm an animal control officer. I love my job. I rescue animals all day. I get to help the community. It is high stress. It is exhausting, but I love it. And recently, back in February, we switched shifts. We went from an 8-hour shift to a 10-hour shift. And we have a rotating schedule. I was unable to get Sundays off. And there is a lateness policy where if you're late 3 times within 90 days, you get written up to termination. And so when this first occurred, I was asking if I could get an accommodation to be able to come to church. Management said no. It's like, we're not going to allow you to come in a little bit later, make up time in the night, but you can try to switch shifts with somebody else. No one was willing to switch shifts. And that was causing me a lot of stress because I grew up in a household where work ethic is one of the most important things. If you're not early, you're late.
Come on.
And I'm ashamed to admit this. That Sunday, I didn't come to church. And God convicted my heart pretty quick. He says, it was as if he was speaking to me. He says, Seth, what is your priority in your life? Is it your job or Jesus? Now, some of y'all might not know me that well, but I'm pretty stubborn. And sometimes lessons take a little while to sink in. So, after that, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm coming to church. But then I thought, who's got my back? Who's got my back? My first thought was actually not what you think. My first thought was, okay, we got a union. The union's got my back. It's in the union contract. The union did not have my back. This is clearly an HR issue. HR's got my back. Nope. Okay, sometimes you have to have your own back. Did my own research. And as I'm getting disciplined for being late coming to church every Sunday, because I was going to be coming to church, I brought up every single time that they were breaking the law by not allowing me to go to church. They stated that they didn't want to set a precedent, so they would have to do it for everybody. A precedent that's already been set. So this entire time, 4 months, I was stressed, but I was still taking it to God. And this is where persistence of prayer comes in. It wasn't immediate. It was consistent. God revealed to me this peace that I haven't had in a long time. I had this feeling that whatever happens, God's got this. It doesn't matter if I lose my job. God's got this. Trust in Him. Have faith. Bosses, companies, governments can seem pretty big, but our God is bigger. A few months into this, there was a new shift bid, and a coworker went to a different shift, and I was able to get Sundays off. The world will get in your way with your relationship with Jesus. It is why fellowship is so important. It is why coming to church is so important. If two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. I'm gonna leave you all with this. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world.
I could feel the excitement in the room. Y'all were buzzing so much, even into worship, and it was such a beautiful thing. And I was even reminded of when the Hebrews crossed through the Red Sea, they came out on the other side praising. And that's what I heard today. There was a praise and a worship of people who have seen the massive love of God, and they have witnessed the power of the Almighty. Guys, I feel like there's like so many things I can say. Baptism is more than just a physical act. What we do and obey in the physical has spiritual impact. When the Hebrews were freed from slavery, when God claimed these people as their own, he took them out of slavery. He parted the waters so that they could walk through it. And they didn't walk through on a muddy ground. It was perfectly dry land. This was the first baptism, right? It was through the waters that God delivered His people and marked them as their own. But just as Seth said, on the other side of that first baptism, they met a wilderness. And in the wilderness, it sounds like a punishment, but in the wilderness is where the Lord woos you to know Him. You come to know the Lord when you put away distractions. You see, the Israelites, they had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. That means for 400 years, instead of being surrounded by the worship of what God would have them do, they were surrounded by the worship of idols, of other gods, the gods of Egypt. And so for 400 years, that is the culture they knew. So to unlearn Egypt, they had to go through a wilderness. And what the Lord was inviting them into, He was inviting them to know Him as the God who would provide every need for them. Not only did they witness the parting of the Red Sea, but they witnessed when they were hungry, God sent food in abundance. And it could have been a nasty food, but they said that the manna that fell from heaven was sweet like honey. When they hungered for meat, they complained about the food that God had given them. They hungered for meat, God gave them meat. When they said they were thirsty, God turned bitter waters to fresh water. He created water from a rock, and He is showing us over and over again, just turn to Me and ask for Me for anything you need. Know Me as your Father. We have one baptism. Did you know that the Israelites walked through, actually it was Hebrews, they weren't Israelites yet because they weren't in Israel, but they had a second baptism. They crossed over the Jordan. They went through the wilderness, and again, the Lord parted the waters of the Jordan the same way He had in the Red Sea, and they walked into the promised land. It was like one was going down into the water, but the other one was coming up the other side. There's a newness of life and a promised land on the other side of your baptism. So I will share a bit of my testimony with you. My parents got pregnant out of wedlock and right out of high school. So it was one of those situations where we get married, you know, because that's what you do when you get pregnant. And but my dad was already signed up for the Navy. So they get married and immediately my parents moved to Virginia and my mom's left all alone. And while she's there, she starts taking me to church as a baby. Just her and me, her and me. And I just want to, without going into so many details, I want you to know, like, my mom was lonely, you know. That's not how you want to start out a marriage. And it just starts, it makes you wonder things. And things were hard. But she kept going, and I just want to give God the glory for the testimony that they chose so many things. My story could be very different from just that part, but he had a hand in it. And so eventually we moved back to Louisville, and I'm a child. I'm 6 years old, and I tell you, I know for a fact that God the Father was my best friend, that he wanted a relationship with me, that Jesus died for me. I know people say that kids don't understand, but they do. The Bible talks about a childlike faith. It's a beautiful thing. It's not because it's ignorance, it's because we're willing to accept things that we can't quite see. And so I will tell you, I knew what I was doing, but I'm telling you, the story continues and there is a wilderness, right? So I was good. Family moved from southwest Louisville to Fern Creek. And if you're familiar with the geography of Louisville, these are two different parts of the city. And there were oppositions, right, from teachers calling me stupid out in class because I had come from one end of town to the other. She thought it would be appropriate to call that out in the middle of class. Things like that. And, you know, and moving those things, even my friends that I had in the south end of Louisville, well, now that I moved to the east end, she must be too good for us now. So I lost all my friends in that time as well. And I just want to tell y'all, I was lonely. And if you could see that for just a second, I have a point that I'm getting to. I was just a lonely kid. And I didn't have people at school and I didn't have people at church. But my freshman year, there was a boy at the church who was my friend. We started, what I want you all to know about that relationship, that friendship, is I would walk into a youth service and I would go, I don't know where I belong in here. And I would start to get scared. And there was this one guy who was just nice enough to be my friend. And so we would talk pretty regularly until one day, he told me that his father told him he couldn't talk to me anymore because I was too dark of a person. And that one relationship I had was now gone. And the thing I want to say about that, or the word, I want to call attention to the words that are spoken over us and the spoken about us. You are not too dark. You are not too far gone. You are not too dirty. Guys, I've just been thinking about it. If Mary of Magdala had seven demons and Jesus didn't call her too dark, too demonic for him to go towards and to heal, then you're not either. If he could catch a woman, if a woman could be caught in adultery, have fingers pointed at her in the midst of a bunch of people, yet Jesus is the one person that tells her that his daughter and that she is clean, you're not too dirty of a person. Okay, your past does not define your relationship with Jesus. Jesus bends down into the dirt and calls you his beloved son or daughter. Peter wasn't too much of a hard-headed, angry person to be called as to be his disciple. And Lazarus wasn't too dead for Jesus to resurrect. So this is the testimony I give you. It's not really just my testimony. I want it to be your testimony that you are not too whatever was spoken over you. There may be something in your past that you want, that you look at, but Jesus isn't looking at that. He says, look at me and ask me, how do I see you? And if that voice is not love, then that's not Jesus's voice. I promise you, because I believe the stories in the Bible. And if he didn't name call and point fingers to those people, he's not doing it to you either. The last thing I want you all to hear is about a year ago, I had come home from a church service and I was really tired, and I don't remember what I was feeling shame over, but I was feeling some kind of shame. And I wanted to take a nap, but I was so scared of my mind. Has anybody else experienced that where your mind just won't stop? It won't stop replaying the thing that's plaguing you. And so I opened the Bible on my phone to try to fall asleep. And while I'm dozing off, I read Zephaniah 3:17. And I doze off for a quick second and I see a wave break over my back. And all of a sudden it was released to me, God's love. It felt like a mighty wave. And I heard baptism, forgiveness, freedom for many, revival. And when I woke up, I reread the Zephaniah 3:17 verse, and it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you. He will quiet you in his love, making no mention of your past sins. And he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. He will make no mention of your past. He will rejoice over you. You will hear his songs of love wash over you today. Could I pray for those getting baptized? Heavenly Father, I'm gonna be quiet for just a moment because I want every person in this room to take a moment and say, Jesus, what do you say about me? When you sense that word, that first word that comes up, and it is something loving and good, don't dismiss it. Because that's the thing. God couldn't say that over me. Yes, he can. If he gave you an image, if he gave you a word, if he brought you back to a moment, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. God, I want to give just another moment. Unwrite the lies. Right now, Jesus, override the lies with your blood that you have shed for our forgiveness. I pray you would sing a song of joy over your people under my voice. Father, how do you see me? Father, I pray your word would settle into every heart, Lord, and I pray that they would be listening in for your voice, for your sensing, your feeling, God, however it is that you want to speak to them, Father. I pray that they would be listening for that the rest of the day. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.